The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Summer has definitely arrived in Israel. We've had some very, very warm weather.
Wow. And yeah, it's suddenly gone cold this morning. It was freezing when I left the house early this morning.
Well, it was just really strange because usually over Yom HaTzmaut, we expect to have, you know, very warm weather, people going out and doing their outdoor activities. And even though last week people did do that, there was a certain sense of uncertainty about the weather. It was a little bit cooler than usual. That all changed over the last few days. We've had weather, you know, temperatures up in the mid to high 30s. It's been very warm indeed. I don't think that that's kind of welcome to summer quite yet. I think it's still going to get a little cooler and move back to more seasonal temperatures. But certainly the last few days have been warm, and just a little reminder of what lies on the doorstep for us over the next few months.
Absolutely. And as I think here it's pretty much the same, that it's suddenly gone colder, but it'll probably warm up before it becomes properly cold. Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday suffered a significant defeat in the Knesset. What was this defeat, and what are the consequences now?
This was a very significant event, in my view, yesterday, in the Knesset, when there was a vote held on the Arrangements Committee. Now, the Arrangements Committee has control over the Knesset in the absence of an elected government, which we don't have yet because we've still got all of these attempts to try to put a government together following the last election. And so the Arrangements Committee is very, very powerful indeed, and effectively will run the Knesset until the government is formed. And yesterday the Likud had put a proposal to the Knesset on the makeup of the Arrangements Committee. And unexpectedly, or at least unexpected to the Likud, their proposal was defeated by 60 votes to 58. So very, very marginal indeed. And then when the opposition group came forward to make their alternative proposal on the Arrangements Committee, they managed to get a majority of 60 to 51, which means effectively that the opposition group have now gained control over the functioning of the Knesset, at least until such time as a government is put together, which includes the makeup of the Finance Committee, which includes the makeup of the Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee, at least in this interim stage until such time as a government is put together. And many people are interpreting this to be the sign of things to come in terms of how the government may look in the future. And the fact that the Likud and Prime Minister Netanyahu may not be the ones who are in the government and leading the government. So this is a very significant moment, change of heart. I don't know if it's a change of heart, but certainly a change of the way that things have been functioning in Israel up until now, where somehow by hook or by crook, Prime Minister Netanyahu has succeeded in getting the majority of these very critical votes, the ones that really count. He's always somehow managed to pull things out of the bag and get the majority that he needs in order to keep control over the things that he's been governing over the Knesset and over the government activities. And now all of a sudden yesterday, he kind of lost that control. Not only did he lose that control for the first time, but the way in which it happened was very fascinating indeed, because this was all the making of the Arab Party, one of the Arab parties, run the leader of which is Mansour Abbas, the United Arab List, otherwise known as Ram. And they had, at least the Likud, understood that Ram was either going to support them in this vote or at least not vote against them in the vote. And as it turns out, Mansour Abbas and his Ram party exercised their influence, only a very, very few seats indeed, but significant enough to change the face of Israeli politics. Literally, it looks as if though that's exactly what's happened yesterday. And it's interesting that Mansour Abbas afterwards came out to say that one of the reasons why they decided to change their vote and not to support the Likud-led grouping of the right-wing parties was because of some of the insults that have been dished out to him and to his party and to Arabs in Israel by Bezalel Smotrich, who is very much part of the Netanyahu camp, and he felt that those comments that were made, disparaging comments that were made, were sufficient enough for Mansour Abbas and his Ra'am group to vote against the Likud yesterday and effectively take away their control over the Knesset. So I think that this is a very, very significant moment. What happens next is that it's quite likely now that the Knesset speaker, currently Yariv Levin from the Likud, the Knesset speaker may well be replaced, and the replacement speaker is likely to come from the opposition group. So I think that that's probably going to be the next step. And it's interesting that members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's own Likud party have now come out saying that this is a precursor towards the Likud losing power in the government, that the Likud, this is a strong message that's being sent, that the Likud will be unable to form a government. Not only that, but it seems now that the opposition bloc, even though they are quite split and quite disparate, a number of different parties, but it seems as if they've got their act together sufficiently now to create a majority that could potentially form the next government. So Meir Cohen is poised to be the new Knesset speaker if the opposition group get their way. He represents the Lapid faction, the Yesh Atid Lapid party. And the next thing is going to be, well, who might be the prime minister in this new opposition group? And there is still good money being bet on Naftali Bennett becoming the next prime minister, even though he only holds seven seats in the Knesset.
Incredible.
He only holds seven seats in the Knesset. He's made it clear that he will be unwilling to sit in a government under Yair Lapid or under any of the other opposition leaders, including Benny Gantz and including, you know, all of the other opposition leaders. But they have certainly sent their message that they may well be willing to give up on taking over the prime ministerial role, at least in the first term. It's likely to be some sort of a rotating role, but it may well be that a man who's managed to get seven seats in the Knesset could be Israel's next prime minister if the messages from yesterday come to fruition.
The one thing that we do know for certain is that Netanyahu is a survivor. So whereas, you know, when I was reading the news yesterday and I'm listening to you speak about it, it all sounds like it's moving in that direction. But the one thing we do know about Netanyahu is that he is a master at pulling things back from the brink.
That is 100% correct. And, you know, what I would say is that the one thing we do know about Prime Minister Netanyahu is that we never really know 100%. What's going to be happening next. And, you know, this comes against the backdrop. I mean, let's not forget that in parallel, his trial continues. Evidence is being led in his trial. And the Attorney General came closer than ever yesterday to declaring that Prime Minister Netanyahu might be unfit to continue leading the country due to the public corruption case and due to the unbelievable comments that he's made about Israel's legal system, which he's really been highly critical of. And he says that the Attorney General said that the Prime Minister's attacks on the law enforcement had crossed the lines that could serve as a basis for declaring him unfit if such deterioration continues. Having said that, if we go back to the Knesset for a moment, there is, if that opposition group actually gets their way, manages to take control of the Arrangements Committee, manages to get that person in to be the Speaker of the Knesset, the next thing that they might well do is to introduce a bill to the Knesset that would effectively make it unlawful for anybody under legal investigation to form a government. That seems to be the next intention of this group, if they get the way that the opposition group, if they get their way, to really make it impossible for Prime Minister Netanyahu to be involved in forming a government. But as you said, Howard, we can never know what to expect. He is one of the world's greatest survivors. And we can be sure that the claws will be out and his survivor skills will be on full display over the next few days.
Absolutely, no doubt. The first ever diplomatic delegation from Sudan is due in Israel this week. That is incredible. What's the purpose of the delegation?
I mean, obviously, this is a follow-up from, the agreement that was reached with Sudan to establish relations between Israel, bilateral ties that were established under the U.S. Mediation. And the first ever official delegation to Israel is due this week from Sudan, simply to firm up these bilateral ties. It's due to comprise security and intelligence officials, even though we don't have a specific date when the delegation is due to arrive. But there has been talk that various governments have been unwilling to acknowledge or say much about this particular delegation. But we understand that it will due to talk about cooperation between Sudan and Israel, including emphasis on water resources, agriculture, renewable energy, health, aviation, and of course security issues. We're not quite at the moment when the Sudanese government is looking to set up an embassy in Israel and to establish a more permanent establishment here. But certainly that moment seems to be getting closer and closer. The normalization initiative appears to have been led mostly by the military, which has welcomed visits by Israeli officials to Sudan in recent months. And in fact, the government and the cabinet in Sudan voted to repeal a 1958 law that diplomatic business relations with Israel. That was actually a law that was on the books in Sudan that has now been repealed. So things are certainly moving in the direction that would indicate that full bilateral, full diplomatic relations might well be on the cards in the not too distant future. And, things are certainly moving in that direction.
Absolutely amazing. Israel has signed a new deal with Pfizer to acquire millions more vaccines.
Yeah, so this is a deal that's been signed after some delays with Pfizer in order to secure vaccines for Israel. We understand for 2022, so vaccines for next year. And I think that this is kind of a follow-on from what Dr. Myberg was saying earlier about the vaccine that might well be introduced to counter, on an annual basis, to counter flu and potentially COVID as well. But Israel has managed somehow to secure this deal with Pfizer, where Israel will be supplied with doses of vaccine during the course of the next year. Apparently, millions of doses have been secured. The amount that Israel is due to pay has not been made public, although the projected price is somewhere between 1 to 1.5 billion shekels to acquire these vaccines. It was announced with a lot of fanfare by Prime Minister Netanyahu and Health Minister Yuli Edelstein. They were very excited to make this an announcement to the general public, encouraging people who have not yet been vaccinated to still come forward and be vaccinated. Something like 55% of all Israelis have now had their vaccinations, even though that percentage is a lot higher when you consider the percentage of adults who are eligible for vaccination rather than including all members of the population. And another related announcement came from Israeli hospitals, where the wards that were set up that were dedicated to the treatment of people with COVID-19, the last ward was finally closed down at the Hillel Yafe Medical Center in Hadera yesterday. The remaining patients have now all been moved for treatment in internal medicine wards. There are something like 300 Israelis who are still in hospital suffering from COVID-19, the infection itself, the virus itself, or related issues. Some 100 odd still on ventilators, but this is the lowest number since July of 2020, and a whole bunch of medical staff who were dedicated to COVID-19 wards have now been redeployed to internal medicine to take care of the things that they used to be taken care of, which are now obviously urgently in need of some attention.
Absolutely incredible. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Wright, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 with the Israel Report.